Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Acts 16, find verse 6. Next, Paul and Silas, are you all there? New Living Translation, next Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north to the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went to Mysia at the seaport of Troas. That night, Paul had a vision. A man of Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us. Everybody say calling us. Calling us to preach the good news there. Father, thank you. Move in power. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We've been doing a series on vision, many messages in that series thus far. The Bible says that people perish for a lack of vision. And I've always found it interesting. I didn't think about it this way in my early walk, but what the Bible doesn't say, or the converse of what it says, is also true. People perish for a lack of vision, but with vision, people flourish. Honor your father and mother, and you will have a long life. It'll go well with you. Come on, somebody say, that's right. The opposite of that is also true. Dishonor mom and dad, shorten your lifespan, and all of the kids and the adults said, amen. So we've been preaching on vision, numerous messages, and we'd encourage you to go to YouTube, like, comment and share that. Let's see YouTube go up and go up and over 40,000 subscribers. We're just below that right now. And very grateful for what God's doing through YouTube and through Facebook. Thank God we can preach to thousands, potentially millions of people. Tiff Shuttlesworth, the evangelist that was just with us, preached about 666, and that has reached 1.3 million people. It was preached right from this pulpit here at King's. Isn't that amazing? You can reach a million people through one video. And we believe that God will do more and more of that. Very thankful for our whole media department. So in the vision of, in the series on vision, carriers of the vision, Acts 16. Vision's carried by the church. It's the church that carries vision. Now, of course, people carry vision, but we're a church specifically. And true vision is a vision that comes from God. True vision is a vision that comes from God, and God gives a vision. Everybody say, God gives a vision. He speaks, and he speaks in lots of different ways. Vision is released through a burden, like Nehemiah. Vision is released through dreams. Vision is released through a prophetic word. Vision can be imparted to vicariously. Bad company corrupts good character. There's another one of those scriptures that you could speak in converse. And it would also be true. Bad company corrupts good character. Correct? Correct. Who you hang out with will be the influences in your life. Will basically, you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Bad company corrupts good character. But what happens if you hang out with good company? What happens if you hang out with anointed, spirit-filled, godly people that pray and make a difference? And what happens is the anointing gets on you. Bad company corrupts good character, but good character and anointing and grace and power and vision can be imparted to you when you hang out with people with vision. If you hang out with dull and blind, then that's what you get, dull and blind. When my wife and I first came into King's Cathedral and Chapel so many years ago, we had a vision. Well, I had a vision to live another day. That expanded to a week. And then after I was able to make it through a week, I thought, geez, maybe I could maybe make it for a month. And after I made it for a month, I started having a vision actually for God to do something in my life. My wife came in following two gurus, got radically delivered out of false religion and idolatry. And she didn't have a vision for her life. And then she got part of a vision that was bigger than herself. Now she's a woman that's filled with vision. And I'm a man that's filled with vision. And we're a church that's filled with vision. God gives vision to his people. It is the beginning of a miracle. I want you to say that. Say, vision is the beginning of a miracle. So that's how he does. He speaks. He gives a vision to Moses. He gives a vision to Noah. He gives a vision to Abraham. He gives a vision to Isaac and Jacob. And he gives a vision to you. And he gives a vision to me. God gives vision. And he opens doors for the vision to be fulfilled. When God gives a vision, it's the beginning of a miracle, but you start moving forward in vision and God will begin to open doors. If you sit on your blessed assurance every day of your life, you're not going to see vision come to pass. Minister Vicky and Eric, they talked about, they saw this building. They saw a building for whatever reason. They were drawn to that building. And they would drive by and they had this desire for that building. And they had a vision like, man, maybe we could own that. Maybe God could do something. Totally inconvenient on one hand, no resources. God, help us. They started moving forward in vision and God opened doors. They now own that building with apartments and their business expanded. Come on. God opened doors. It's not luck, it's faith. We don't believe in luck. We believe in faith. We believe in what? Faith and vision. God gives vision. God opened doors and God provides for the vision. There's a powerful message that I preached numerous times, first preached by our own Dr. James Morocco. God brings provision for the vision. Where there's vision, there's always provision. Where there's vision, there's always provision. Another way to say it is money follows ministry, said our beloved brother from Arizona, Pastor Tommy Barnett. Money follows ministry. So in other words, when you have a ministry idea, you have a vision idea, it doesn't matter if you have money. Just move forward and God will release provision. God will release provision. God will give you buildings. God will give you money. If you do everything according to money, then you'll never get going. If you think about Moses, well, Pastor Mo, there's no porta potties to leave Egypt. Where are all these millions of people going to go number two? How are you going to do that? Let's move on. God provides for the vision. And so when it comes to pass, when a vision comes to pass, when a vision comes to pass, who gets the glory? Almighty God gets the glory. That's who gets the glory. The vision of the church is twofold, right in your notes now. We got to fulfill the Lord's mandate. Lots of scripture here. Let me read them to you. Matthew 24 and 14. And this gospel, this good news of the kingdom, will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. Then the end will come. The gospel of the kingdom. It is part of the vision and the mandate that God has given us is to bring the gospel, the good news, Jesus crucified, Jesus rose again, believe in your heart, confess it with your mouth, you shall be saved. Healing, freedom, salvation in the truest sense of the word, sozo, as I said this morning, it's not only being forgiven of your sin, it's being healed of diseases, it's being set free in every area of your life, it's being made whole. That good news found in Christ and Christ alone, that good news must be preached in every nation. That is a part of the vision of the church, the mandate of the church. You know what's crazy to me is that there's churches that don't even preach it anymore. There's churches that don't even have altar calls anymore. Not long ago, I was asked by some pastors, can you do the altar call? Because we don't do those. I'm like, well, what do you do? I mean, I wanted to get upset. I mean, what are you doing? What are you doing? Matthew 28, 19, therefore go. Everybody say go, not stay, not stay. It doesn't say therefore stay. Therefore sit in a room, all few of you there and stay there. That's what it says. It says therefore Go and make disciples of all nations. Wow, that's not just people, that's nations. We're supposed to disciple nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In Mark 6 and 15, and he said to them, go, everybody say go. Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Or another version says all creation. That scripture inspired me to preach to cows. It was my first congregation. It was the only people that would listen to me. John 20 and verse 31. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Acts 1 and 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. I mean, we begin to see this commonality here in these verses. We're supposed to go. We're supposed to preach. We're supposed to share the good news of Jesus, crucified, resurrected. You don't have to die in your sin. You can be born again. You can be healed. You can be delivered. You might have come in this place tonight in need of a miracle. You've come to the right place. Turn me up a little bit, please. You come to the right place. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. And tell the Lord you're gonna go. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go. Go ahead and say it. Little monitor, please. I'm gonna go. But God has a specific vision for his church. A specific vision. Not every church should be the same. Every church should be fulfilling the great commission. It is a great omission in many places. I've had people say to me, I don't want to offend anybody. How are you not going to offend anybody? Statistically, I was told, I don't know it's true. I didn't try to substantiate it, but it's very encouraging to me. There's only two or three people that like you anyway, so you better just be real and let the chips fall where they may. I was reading something in my feed on Twitter today about transgenderism. And how few churches talk about it. How few churches talk about the gender confusion and everything that's taking place, because I don't want to offend anybody. Let me just tell you, I'll offend you every day of the week on that topic and every other topic that's contrary to God's plan. There's men, there's women, there's boys, there's girls. If you're confused about that, you need to be set free from that. It is a demon spirit that comes to try to bring confusion. God doesn't make a mistake. He doesn't make a boy, and then, but really you're supposed to be a girl. Oops, he made a mistake. No, God doesn't make a mistake. Say God doesn't make a mistake. You know who makes a mistake? Demonized people who remove God from the public square and try to play God themselves to make people conform to their own image. It is not you are not a mistake, whatever gender you are. If you're not sure, you can get a DNA test. It's either XX or XY. There's nothing in between. You're offending me. You need to be offended so that you don't end up in a tormented place. And they never do these interviews. They never do interviews of people who've gone through the transition. That makes it sort of sound nice, like you're transitioning to a new life. You're not transitioning, you're being mutilated and destroyed. And they never do the interviews of the people who were, I mean, we've got kids here, it's family night. They never do the interviews of the people who are in unbearable pain, who never experience the joy again because their life is tormented. And they're tormented at night, and they, all the ones, I've heard so many, I try not to listen and read too much of it because it's so defiling. Don't go and study that, but I'm just telling you that perversion that's being pushed. And Alaska, you think, well, we're in Alaska. Thank God we're not the lower 48. They are pumping billions of dollars into Alaska so that the schools will then teach your kids that you can pick your gender. I'm telling you, it's demonic. And the end game, and don't go looking after this either, because you'll end down a rabbit hole that's very disturbing. The end game is transhumanism, is removing basically man altogether. It's beyond population control. It's removing God and destroying man. That's the end game. Come on, somebody ought to thank God right now. What do I do? Serve God. Get a vision from the Lord. Speak the truth. If people don't like you, who cares? It's not about popularity. It's not about you know, how many likers you can get. It's about loving God and obeying Him and hearing well done from the Heavenly Father in the end. Now, good and faithful servant, that's what it truly is about. When we carry, when the church carries our Lord's vision, God's purposes are fulfilled right there in your notes, and His kingdom expands. And that's what you see in this text. The context is Paul is on his, looking at the context of Acts 16 now, Paul is on his second missionary journey, and he revisits the churches that he started. He was revisiting these churches. He's traveling with a team. He's traveling with a what? He's traveling with a team of people. And listen, Silas is with him. Timothy's with him. Luke is the one that's writing the book of Acts. And you'll see in various places in the book of Acts, he says, and we concluded that God wanted us to preach the gospel there. Us. Luke is a part of it. There's a team of people. And he desires to go to the province of Asia and to Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit says no. I've put that into more messages because it just blows my mind. Later, they would have a great outpouring in Ephesus. The greatest New Testament outpouring, the greatest New Testament revival is in Ephesus. But the Holy Spirit speaks and says no. How many of you know Father knows best? Sometimes God will tell you no. And it doesn't make sense. They needed the gospel. Did they need the gospel? They did. Did they need the message of the good news that Jesus was crucified, risen from the dead, believe on the Lord, you shall be saved? Did they need healing? Did they need miracles? Did they need freedom from deliverance? Yes, yes, yes. So far as we know, I mean, the church is relatively small, expanding from Jerusalem out from there. The book of Acts is the story of how the Holy Spirit causes the New Testament church to grow from Jerusalem to Rome. And we're still in the book of Acts. And it truly is amazing that the Holy Spirit would say no. But when you begin to study and you begin to realize that Peter was very likely, the likelihood of Peter being in that very same neighborhood is the case. And so that there was no, they didn't have internet. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have email, and they definitely didn't have text, but they had the Holy Spirit. Some of you rely on text in your emails more than you rely on the Holy Spirit. Just because somebody said it's a good idea doesn't mean it's a God idea. Raise your hand to heaven and say, oh, Jesus, help me. The Holy Spirit said no, and it's interesting. It's a fascinating study that God would say no to something that is clearly God. My wife and I, and here at the church, here at King's, we've had ideas that are clearly God, and the Lord said no. How does He say no? He says no in many different ways. It can be audible. It can be through a dream. It can be through the inner witness. That's mostly how God speaks to me with peace. I don't do anything unless I have an absolute, absolute peace in my spirit about doing it. Making a decision just tonight, considering something. I've got 85%. 85% good enough. Can I tell you how many times I've made decisions based on 85% good and it doesn't work? You need full 100% confidence and peace when God speaks to you. Don't do 85%. You missed a great place to say amen right there. And while they're waiting in Troas, because the Holy Spirit said no, Paul has a vision of a Macedonian man. And while I was studying this and preparing yesterday to preach this message to you, I began to think about my own family. I shared a little bit this morning on my mother's side, and my mom's probably online right now. Love you, Mom. Hey, Mom. The McCall family, the M small c capital A-L-L, Mac, son of all, son of the Almighty. That's what that means. What a cool ass name. That's my mother's maiden name. And her family, they were ministers and preachers and pastors and deacons for generations. I think I'm the 12th generation of pastor and full-time minister. My grandfather had some rebellion, but eventually he came back to the Lord. And before that, they're all pastors and ministers going back to, I can see it in my family tree. And through England and Scotland and that whole area. And I thought about this man who's a part of my family on my mother's side, and his name is Robert Whitaker McCall. Robert Whittaker McCall got radically saved and was, I'm reading this biography. You can look him up. There's Wikipedia on him, Robert Whittaker McCall. And I'm reading this biography, and the guy was like a rebel. He was like a rebel in the 1800s. I mean, just fought against different things that weren't scriptural, had a move of God and planted churches. And then I think it's in his 60s, he takes a trip to France. And he's in France on vacation. It reminds me of the Apostle Paul when he goes to Athens, and he's there on vacation, but he sees all these idols and he's so disturbed, Acts 17. He's so disturbed at the idols that he can't help but preach. So him and his wife are pastoring this church in England. They take a vacation to Paris, and there was a lot of upset and different things happening, the history of Paris back then, history of France. And they start preaching the gospel. They brought pamphlets with them and tracts, and they started witnessing to the people on the streets, and people started getting saved. And so on one of the final days of their vacation, a man comes up to him dressed, it was a worker, a French worker, and speaks to him in English and says, "We have no one. We have no one to share this good news of the kingdom with us. Please come and share the good news of Christ with us. We have no one." And he goes home, and that man became like a Macedonian man to him. God gave him vision. He left his church in England, moved to France, and planted 136 mission churches in 57 cities. That's amazing. And the people of France and those that were impacted gave them these very generous gifts and these different wooden boxes and incredibly opulent gifts. I have them sitting on my dresser at my house. They're a reminder of me. They're a reminder. They're a reminder to me of vision, a reminder of me of apostolic vision. It's a reminder that God can use us to do something that's beyond anything that has been done. He had this idea of taking these small vessels down these canals. And you look at the map of France, and I went and I found the website. The work continues today, but I'm sad to say that it's become a social gospel. There's nothing wrong with helping society and feeding the homeless and helping people get a good life. But if you stop preaching Jesus crucified and resurrected, you're in trouble. Then you've just become like I'm not against social workers, but social work has got to have Jesus in it. You give people a fish and help them with their problems instead of introducing them to the one that made the fish and the one that can really heal them, then that's a problem. We just develop all these organizations that are codependent and help people stay attached to the dole. And I was tragically reminded that work did not continue because, it's continued, but it's not what it should be. You know what? Maybe God will lead us to go back to France. Ooh. Maybe God would lead us to go back to reopen the wells in Paris. That sounds like God to me. I'm gonna pray a crazy prayer right now. Father, help us to open France. They need you now more than ever. Like the Macedonian man that called out, that man, that working class man who called out and says, "Please, we don't have anybody." And as Robert Whittaker and I believe Sarah McCall answered and went and moved down there, and for 21 years, planted 136 works in 57 cities with a design by God. Lord, I pray that you would help us according to your leading and your guiding to reopen that well. I pray you'd help me, Lord, to do that, even from this place in Alaska, that France would hear the word of the Lord and be saved. Oui, oui. It is sad, though, that work didn't continue. It's fascinating in your notes now while Paul waits in Troas, God gives him a vision. The whole team goes. The whole team goes to do it. It takes a team to fulfill the vision. You've got this explosive growth in the young adults. It's a team of people. We have explosive growth happening with our youth. It's a team of people. We have 100 soon to be. I think there's a couple that'll drop this week. Not a couple as in people, but a couple life groups. Making us 86 life groups. We'll soon to have 100. It's a team. It's a what? It's a team. And you see that. And the whole team goes. The success comes when we carry God's vision. That's when success is released. What is the vision that God has for your life? If you don't have one, you'll have a tendency to drop out of life. Our vision, God, that God has given us was just expansive. It grows. It's progressive vision. Progressive apostolic vision. Everybody say it. Progressive apostolic vision. God is constantly expanding. Listen, if you're paying attention, it just got expanded right now. You haven't heard me pray that quite like that. So I just prayed, God, give us France, help us to reopen the wells in the name of Jesus. Help us to reach France. Wee is like the only word I know. I think I know. No, where's Karen? Omelette du fromage, cheese omelette. That's the other French word I know. What right do you have to do anything in France? What right do you have to breathe? We have every right to expand the kingdom everywhere God gives us vision. Bump your neighbor and say, you have every right in Christ. Go into all the world. Go into where? All the world. You're like, well, Pastor, I've got a vision that I dream about Botswana. Praise God. Dream. Start praying. Start contending. Start believing. I've got a dream to touch Russia, to touch China, to touch. Listen, God's called us to impact the world. And we're doing it. Amen. Amen. Success comes when we carry God's vision. When trouble comes, we have ground to stand on and praise the Lord. It's a beautiful thing when you have a vision and then God gives, and then you have difficulty. Use vision to beat back the opposition. So many times, people will be confronted with opposition to vision. When it comes, use vision that God gave you. You got to know that God gave it to you. And when you get it, and when you have it, you take that thing and you beat the fool out of the opposition. And you pray, and you keep moving forward. You keep contending. You keep believing. Lord, you said. God, you said. Lord, you said, God, you said, as the golden oil of Zechariah will flow, you said, like the North Slope has a pipeline that goes from the North Slope to Valdez, you said you would release the golden oil of Zechariah. You called me here. You called us here for revival. Oh, God, you said you'd send it. So here we are. Release the golden oil of Zechariah. That's a different mentality. When opposition comes, gosh, when was that? Was that Friday? What day was that, Pastor Karen? I felt like we came up against the same opposition that we had just before we came into the building. Some of you don't really know what I'm talking about, but I'm just telling you, there was tremendous demonic opposition, but God's way bigger than that. But boy, I felt that unusual intensity of warfare on Thursday or Friday this week. And I thought, woo, let's go. It encourages me. Some of you hang your, what are we going to do now? What do you mean, what are you going to do? Grow a spine, get a hold of the vision that if God's called you to it, he's going to bring you through. Amen. And I just straightened my back up, got rid of my attitude. God was sort of irritated that I'm in the middle of thick warfare again. I'm talking to Dr. Morocco. I said, man, it feels just as intense as right before he moved in. He said, well, of course it does. I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, what do you expect? You're about to, come on, that's normal. I'm like, I know. He's like, all right, let's go. I'm like, amen. All right, let's go. And we started praying. I prayed for him. He prayed for me. Fire, encouragement. Come on. Let's go. All this difficulty. Yeah. Do you think the devil's excited about the front of our building being finished? He's already lost. I bind him now. I remember in one of the white hot battles, I said to the enemy, under a powerful anointing, you should quit yourself. Go somewhere else. Because we ain't quitting. We don't know how. God already gave us the victory. You should go somewhere else. Just one more beatings. I bind you now in Jesus' name. By the authority. By the authority. By the authority and the grace of Almighty God, in the name of the blood of Jesus, we declare victory! Get all cocky and think you got something, you're defeated. We humbly have great authority. God's kingdom advanced. Success comes when we carry out the vision. God's kingdom advanced. God's kingdom is advancing. Because Paul obeyed, God expanded the vision. And Paul and had his greatest revival in Ephesus. That's where he wanted to go, but the Lord said no. Then he led him around, and eventually he ended up there and saw the desire of his heart. Listen, just because you have a vision to go do something and it doesn't happen within the first week of you trying, the first year of you trying, the first 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, where are you gonna go? You're gonna quit? God will give it to somebody else. How do you know that? Well, I know my own personal experience. What you're looking at here and what's taking place here, which is just the very genesis, it's the very beginning. We'll see 10% of the population a part of Kings. And I pray the rest of the population is everywhere else. I'm contending is in all the other Bible preaching, teaching churches that are healthy. And I pray all the cults and all the idol worshiping unhealthy places would close, and that God would raise up a great body of Christ here in the valley and beyond. Can you say amen? But I'm believing and contending for 10%. Because I don't have faith for 50. All right, well, we'll pray for you. Good luck with that. Go for it. Listen, go for it. God will give you. You can't do beyond what you have faith for. Somebody said, you should have built bigger. I said, well, you go ahead and give it a shot. This is what we had faith for. In fact, it was supposed to be a little bit bigger, and Dr. Morocco said, it's too big. I said, no, it's not. He said, yeah, it is. I said, no, it isn't, and I started making my case. There's 100,000 people. We're in the sanctuary. Sanctuary can hold 2,000 people in the sanctuary. He said, I said it's too big. I said, no problem, it's too big. We'll reduce it. We'll make it smaller. And we did. We did. We took out one of these bays. It was supposed to be a whole nother bay bigger, so we made it a little bit smaller, and here we are. God expanded the vision. And Paul and his greatest revival in Ephesus. There's things that God will put together while you wait, while you contend, while you pray, while you believe. I do believe that Alaska will be the first Christian state. I know I heard other prophets like Cindy Jacobs say that Hawaii was, but I'm just believing, you know, why not? It doesn't matter who's first. Let's get every state saved. Because the whole group or the whole team went with Paul, God used each of them in a special way. God wants to use all of us, every single one of us. God will use every single one of us. If you're on the team. Well, God uses me and I'm not on the team. Yes, yes, he uses ants, and he uses donkeys. He uses mosquitoes. I'm sure mosquitoes have some role. The point is, yes, he will use you, but his design is to make a body, to make a team of believers that will move forward, a covenant group of people. That's what he's done here. That's what he's doing here. I'm so thankful for our King's kids, and we don't have children's church on Sunday night on purpose. This is family night. I said to the first service, I neglected to say it in the second. I said, if you have children that are in the King's kids right now, and you've never served, you've not signed up to help there, then I said it a little bit differently, but I rebuke you. And if you're here and you have children in the back and you don't serve back there at some capacity, then be rebuked. My God, you could do something at least once a month. Do you know that we have to close? I'm done with that. I'm done. I'm a little irritated by it. Why is that? Because we actually have to close off some of our rooms because some people, maybe under the sound of my voice, aren't willing to volunteer because you're like,
well, I just don't want to do that.
Oh, stop. How about just serve once a month, one service a month? Can you imagine if we had 400 people serving once a month? Wouldn't that help? And we'll have a core people, and who knows, maybe God will anoint you like he did the Davises and send you a puppet in a bag, and then you'll be used to touch thousands of people. Even if you don't have kids and you want to help, if you'll pass an FBI background check and you qualify, and we will put you through the inspection process, that not everybody should work with children. You missed a great place to say, you know that's right. Go ahead, try it. You know that's right. Yeah, and so we have very stringent protocol. We have very stringent policies, and we obey them. And when we don't have enough workers for the amount of kids, we have to send the kids back with parents. How would that be if people we've been hiring and contending and believing for come with their kids and then they can't sit in service because they have to watch their children, or maybe they can't even stay because we didn't have somebody that would volunteer? That should not be that way anymore. And in the next 30 days, that's going to change. I'm being strong with you. Some of you are like, yeah, are you talking to me? Yeah, I am talking to you. You're forgiven. Now sign up, get in there. Let's make sure that never happens anymore. Can you say amen? My gosh, pretty bold. Yep, because souls are on the line and kids need Christ. And so we want every opportunity for that. So success comes when we carry God's vision. Quick review. When there's trouble, we have ground to stand on to praise the Lord. The kingdom is advanced. Because Paul obeyed, God expanded the vision, and Paul had his greatest revival in Ephesus. He led him around and brought about a team. And because the whole group went, Paul used each of them in a special way. And I will tell you that there's nothing like being used by God. Amen. There's nothing. If you haven't had the joy of serving in some capacity and seeing people impacted because you were there, or seeing people get saved because you were kind and you smiled at the front door, or that you helped clean up. You know, this whole place needs to be cleaned. Do you know that? There's a clean team. There's keepers of the house, or what do we call it? Clean team. The clean team. Thank God. There's some people that live to clean. Glory to God. Come on. I watched Brother Nathan. I don't even think anybody asked him. I noted it, though. He's walking up and down between the pews, picking up all the notes that people didn't take home with you, which was semi-discouraging for me, as it's much harder to make notes for people. And I thought, that's kind of discouraging. But at the same time, praise God, somebody's working and picking up the paper that I printed that they didn't use and bring home. Hallelujah. You blessed me. And because of that and many, many others, we have a clean sanctuary. It's beautiful how God will use people. Can you say amen? He'll use you in a special way. And God used Paul's obedience to bring about financial help for him personally. That church of Philippi that he planted was the strongest giving church there was. Worship team, please. And future generations will be blessed. Future generations will be blessed. And I think more about future generations now than I ever have. I still feel like a young man, but I know that I'm not as young as I used to be. I'll be giving away, we will be giving away our daughter to a great man of God on November 30th, just around the corner. Well, it was just the other day that Hannah did her dance before the Lord. On the platform, some of you were here, most of you were not. And she got up, she said, Dad, I want to dance. She got on her little tutu, and she was over at the Babcock, you know, dance center and learning. And she had this dance that she practiced with this worship music on a Sunday night. We let her go ahead and dance. It was just the other day, I blinked, and now she's getting married. Your impact, your role of raising up your children is so very important. So when I see your daughter up here leading worship, man, it gets me. I look back and I see Jeremy back there, Pastor Vince's son. I love you, Jeremy. Proud of you. Very proud of you. You've had a big role here at the church, putting the whole sound system together and helping us in so many ways. So blessed to see you tonight. I first met you when I think you were 12. You were on the drums in Kauai. And I remember seeing you play those drums. I thought, man, that little kid can play. Now he's like 6'4", a rippling 260 pounds, and such an anointed musician. He got his degree in sound engineering, can play all kinds of instruments. And I've watched you grow up, watched you get married. You're a man of God. And the plan that God has for you, Jeremy, will come to pass. The plan that God has put in our heart will come to pass. It will happen. And God will bless you as you stay true to him and his word. It's a beautiful thing to see children rise up. I look at the Davises. You guys were all like in your diapers just recently. I don't even know what happened. Eliana, now a life group leader am I right? And what are we calling that, junior life group leaders? Junior life group leaders. Eliana is a junior life group leader. How old are you again, sweetheart? 10, my gosh, what's happening? A 10-year-old. 10-year-olds, can 10-year-olds lead? Yes, with help, you train them. God is using, thank you. God is using us for future generations. The sad thing about the McCall was the McCall Mission Society. It changed to become, I don't know, the Popular or something or other in France, in French. The tragedy is that there's no one preaching the gospel that I can tell in that organization that was started by a relative of mine. I think back about my father. My father is a lawyer, an attorney for 51 years. Graduated from Fordham Law School, married to my mother, drove a taxi, did everything he could to pay for school and get through it, opened a small little practice in a little town in Long Island, New York, and began to cause that little firm of his to grow. Soon he had other lawyers working with him, and soon more lawyers, and soon it expanded and grew, and they had to move, and then they moved again, and then they built a mid-rise building, and they began to just grow. This is just a business, not a ministry. Became the president of the New York State Bar Association. I'm very proud of my father. He gave me a work ethic. He gave me a lot of things. He didn't give me what he couldn't give me, which I got from others like Dr. Morocco. But he was a God-fearing man that taught me how to work. He loved me, never abused me. You know, we can all be better fathers. But that firm, Bracken, Jacopi, Margolin, actually it's Bracken, Margolin, Gouvis, and something. It was one of those law firms. Do you know that I don't even think they exist now? You know why? Because there was no successor. There was nobody to take it over. I think my father had hoped that one day we would become lawyers, his three sons, but we had a higher calling than that. I'm not against lawyers, but God called us to argue the case of heaven before people. I do something similar. And I'm blessed that he's proud of me. But that business doesn't even exist, I don't think, anymore. Come on, we're to pass on generation to generation to generation the good news of Christ and never lose the vision of the church. We're carriers of the vision.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.